Thank you, Donnie. I'd like to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to be here. My son asked me the other week if he could be baptized, and I kind of thought about it and asked him to think about it and pray about it. Glorious day. I don't usually get too much of a heads up on what I'm going to preach on, so but a couple of weeks ago we sang a song, and it was hymn number 319. And in that hymn, it's the scripture that is in 2 Timothy in the first chapter. The 12th verse. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And I want to ask you a question. I always start with a question. What is God not able to do? There is nothing. There is absolutely nothing that God is not able to do. But yet we doubt. I'd like you to go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. The third verse. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The worlds were framed by the word of God, and so this insignificant little speck of dust that we live on in this universe was formed, and yet God considers us. Can you wrap your mind around that? God gives me jobs, takes jobs away. Puts people in my path for not only good, but also for bad. Do you ever think about that? Or is life just a random set of events? And I don't believe that. I believe that everything happens for a reason. I believe that he allows all these things to happen to us, to form an opinion, an understanding of who God is. Now, if this wasn't important, when the Nephites came to this land, God had a perfect opportunity to start new. You ever thought about that? And yet, he allowed two of the brothers to rebel and still brought them along. Did you consider that? He could have eliminated them before they even came to this continent. Why didn't he? You ever think about those things? You see, we don't really have an understanding of what God is in many instances, because evil is part of this world. And it's actually an important part. If God was able to form the heavens by his word. Why was he not able to make a new start here? You see, we're meant to fight evil all the days of our lives. We don't think of it like that, do we? Of course not. Let's go to page 84, 2 Nephi, first chapter. Ninety-seventh verse through 100. And to bring about his eternal purpose in the end of man, after he had created our first parents, and the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the air, and in fine all things which are created, it must needs be that there was an opposition, even the forbidden fruit, in opposition to the tree of life, the one being sweet, the other bitter. Wherefore the Lord God gave unto man that he should act for himself. Wherefore man could not act for himself, save it should be that he was enticed by the one or the other. It was done on purpose. There was no accident. That there would be an opposition because mankind tends to want to do evil. And if no opposition, man gets worse and worse each generation. We have the records to show that. We see this today, and in Sunday school we touched on it a little bit. Roger had something to say about it. You see, 20 years ago, probably, the things that would offend us are almost celebrated today as normal. We're not normal anymore. I want you to go back a page in the Book of Mormon there. Page 83, first chapter, 71 through 73. Wherefore, redemption cometh in and through the Holy Messiah, for he is full of grace and truth. Behold, he offereth himself a sacrifice for sin, to answer the ends of the law unto all those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and unto none else can the ends of the law be answered. Wherefore, how great an importance to make these things known unto the inhabitants of the earth, that they may know that there is no flesh that can dwell in the presence of God, save it be through the merits and mercy and grace of the Holy Messiah. Last verse there is very interesting. I don't think we quite understand this. That in this form, we think we should be able to meet God. In this form. We can't. You know, and thinking about this, I also thought about my Lord, that there were several instances after he'd gone through great trials that he was ministered to. And why was that? You think about us in the flesh, that the flesh becomes more important than anything else. But it's not. If you go to the fourth chapter of Matthew here, the 11th verse, and it says, Then the devil leaving him, and this is after his fasting for 40 days and being tempted. Then the devil leaving him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Do we understand how important that strength from God is? I don't think we do. I don't think we do. I think that we look at ourselves as being sufficient. I don't look at myself that way. I know that I have to depend on my God for everything. For my breath, for my heartbeat, for all those things. And you know, the thing that truly bothers me, I shouldn't say it truly bothers me, it for those that don't have an understanding of who God is, how did I get through life? How did I get through the first 30 years of my life? I had no concept of what God was. And for many years, I still didn't have. Even though I believed, because he poured out his Spirit upon me in great measure, I didn't understand why it was so important to have evil. We would never turn to him if we were not enticed by the one or the other, because we wouldn't recognize what bad was. Eightieth verse in the first chapter of 2 Nephi there. Wherefore the ends of the law which the Holy One hath given unto the inflicting of the punishment which is affixed, which punishment that is affixed as an opposition to that of the happiness which is affixed to answer the ends of the atonement. For it must needs be that there is an opposition in all things. If not so, my firstborn in the wilderness, righteousness, could not be brought to pass. Neither wickedness, neither holiness, nor misery, neither good nor bad. Wherefore, all things must need be compound in one. Has to be in opposition. I want you to go to John, the first chapter. First three verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Not anything that was made. Satan, Judas, were created for the purpose of God. Why were they created for the purpose of God? You see, and it's interesting even about Judas. If you look in the sixth chapter here, and he knows what Judas is going to do. In the 70th verse, it says, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? So he knew what he was going to do. And yet, still walked beside him in his ministry. Can you wrap your mind around that? You see, God's purpose, in many instances, we don't even understand what it is. That is why it is so important to have a spirit. The promise is that we receive that when we make that covenant with Him. How bad do you want that? Do you want to know what His will is? Because I do. It's not to heal everyone. Very few were taken by God. Most of us, probably all of us, here, are going to eventually die. That's okay. I'm looking forward to that day because I get to meet my Lord and Savior. I have a testimony of who He is. And I do. I want to meet Him, but not in this clay form. Romans, the 9th chapter. Seventeenth verse. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. So Pharaoh was an instrument in God's hand. You know, we don't look at it like that, do we? So I ask you, how does He work in your life? And I find that there is nothing that my God cannot do. Nothing. So why should I doubt Him? The afflictions of this country, even of ourselves or even our church, are important because they tell us where we are spiritually. They tell us where we are spiritually. Where are we spiritually? We're no better than the rest of the world because we live in this world and we don't want to be apart from this world. We don't separate ourselves. We go right along with the rest of the world. Because we haven't cleansed ourselves. But brothers and sisters, there is a cleansing coming, whether you like it or not. This is a great country. Love this country. This country has truly been good to me. I know a speech impediment, but didn't start out here. And you all know that. I see God's wisdom in how He established this country. That it was on His law. This great experiment. That's why I say, what is it that He can't do? Despite all the odds, here we are today, all of us. So many things about this land that are exceptional. a choice land, choice above all others. It tells us this in the Book of Mormon, in many places, actually. You know, this is Memorial Weekend, where we honor those that have fought for this country. I do understand why. And actually, when I first came to this country, the Iranian hostage situation was on, and I was going to sign up for the military. And they said, well, you're not a citizen, you can't. But I come to find out later on, for some reason, that it didn't work out that way. Because I've seen how great this was. And I do understand why this land is so special. And without God's matchless protection, we will be swept off. Page 737 in Ether, fourth chapter, the Book of Mormon. Twenty-second verse. And thus the Lord did pour out his blessing upon this land, which was a choice above all other lands. And he commanded that whoso should possess the land should possess it unto the Lord, or they should be destroyed when they were ripened in iniquity. For upon such, saith the Lord, I will pour out my fullness of my wrath. That's quite a blessing there, isn't it? Whosoever should possess it unto the Lord. Do you think what's happening is just by accident? I don't think so. So I believe this great change is about to take place. Because we've kicked God out of almost everything in our country. We said we don't need him. Personally, I can't say that. I have to do a better job of allowing his will to be first and foremost in my life. And the only way I can do that is to be more in tune with the Spirit. I want you to go to page 692. First chapter of Mormon. 56 and 57. And this is what happened to the Nephites. Nevertheless, the strength of the Lord was not with us. Yea, we were left to ourselves, that the Spirit of the Lord did not abide in us. Therefore, we had become weak, like unto our brethren. And my heart did sorrow because of this great calamity of our people, because of their wickedness and their abominations. You judge for yourself. I find that We see in many instances that our nation has become weak. I do praise my God for this opportunity to be here. I want you to go back to that 2 Timothy. I want you to think about that this weekend. For the which cause also suffer these things. I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed in. I hope that you enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day weekend. I give thanks to God in all things. I pray that you may have more of His Spirit in all things. And I do thank you for your time and pray that God's Spirit would be with you. Thank you very much.